Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 34. Down to verse 38. Luke 1, 34. This is the word of God. Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Amen. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God lasts forever. Today we're going to consider the Virgin Mary's faith. In the ancient world, as is the case in the majority of the world today, women have always been looked down upon, counted as unreliable, and whose word is not to be trusted. We see this even come across in certain passages of the scripture. Not that God is saying that, but we have it recorded how men react towards women. And we have it recorded. We've read some of that already in the past. But what do we see from God in the pages of scripture? Just about in all instances, we see women responding to God's word with faith and trust. Of course, there are a few notable exceptions. Eve, right? Eve doubted. And Sarai laughed when she heard God speaking to Abraham. Yet there are many other godly examples of faithful women doing the needful and trusting in the Lord. We have Hannah, who prayed and covenanted to give her firstborn son to the Lord, which she did when Samuel was born. The servant girl, an illiterate peasant sold into slavery, who heard that the wife of Naaman, whom she served, was afflicted with leprosy, told Naaman about Elisha, who was able to heal him. Such was her faith in God working through Elisha that she dared suggest Elisha to her master. Imagine that faith. Then there is Ruth, a Moabitess of the people group that was to be destroyed. They had nothing to do with the children of Israel. And she trusted in Jehovah and became the ancestor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How about Abigail, who fell before David, pleading and acknowledging that Jehovah God will build a house forever unto David? The list is long of many faithful and godly women, most of them of low estate, meaning of low social class. Their faith in the Lord was stronger than many of the so-called faith of intelligent and learned men of their day, just as the case is today. Their faith in the Lord was stronger than the faith of even other true believers. We will certainly see this as we progress in the reading of the Gospel of Matthew. When we come to the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord. And we'll see this as we progress through the Gospel of Luke. Speaking of today, if you know anything about foreign missions or what happens in the mission context, there's a certain statistics that just pop out in your face. For example, in the Hispanic context, as in many other non-Western countries, there tends to be more women that go to church than men. Of course, ungodly and chauvinistic men will say that this is because women are silly, ignorant, and superstitious. They're uneducated. Yet these very men are the ones that end up cast to the side and forsaken by Jehovah. Notice how much the Lord cares for the downtrodden in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Orphans, the poor, and widows specifically. So today I want to highlight 2 points from our text. First is Mary's response to God's message. And second, the works of God. So first, Mary's response to God's message. When Gabriel told Mary that she would bear a son, she had to ask how this was going to happen since she was a virgin. Notice here that her question, as the text bears out, was not necessarily one of unbelieving doubt, as was with Zacharias' question about his wife Elizabeth. It was one of, look, I know how pregnancy works, and I've never been with a man to be able to be pregnant in this point in my life, so how is this going to happen? This is a reasonable question. Especially in the way she couched it, right? She said, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? It wasn't so much a question of doubt as it, okay, how is this going to happen? How? You see, Zachariah's question was more of doubt. Because he says this, give me a sign, this will happen, because both my wife and I are old, and she can't bear a child. Here's a priest. As I stated in the past, who knew better? He was well-versed and well-read in the scriptures to ask such a question and to ask for a sign. He was educated, well-read. Here's Mary, a young lady, not as well-read, but righteous just as Zacharias was before the Lord. The Lord disciplined Zacharias and obliged him with a sign by making him mute. You want a sign? Okay, I'll give you a sign. You're going to be mute until your wife delivers your son. But Mary did not ask her question with incredulity. She asked, just like, how would the Lord do this since I'm a virgin? Then the angel answered her that it will be by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just as the Spirit was there for the creation of the world, here he was again, central in the work of redemption. The Holy Spirit comes to interact with mankind in a more prominent manner with the advent of Jesus Christ. He anoints Jesus Christ on the day of his baptism. He is there when Christ is tempted in the wilderness. And the scriptures say at 1 Peter 3:18 that Christ, being put to death in the flesh, is quickened by the Spirit for our redemption. Jesus Christ even tells his disciples that he had to go away so that the Holy Spirit could come and fill his church, his people, with his presence to lead us and to teach us the truth. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, then is active here in advancing the covenant of redemption in the conception and in the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Virgin Mary. And this is a true mystery, and one that we should not attempt to delve too deeply, lest we fall into all sorts of foolish opinions or blasphemous ideas. There are certain things in Scripture where we are told this is how it happens, but it's still mysterious to us. And so they need to remain at times that way. And we are to be content with that and leave it there, submitting ourselves to the infinite wisdom of God, which surpasses all understanding of mankind. Mary then is told by Gabriel that the child that will be born to her is to be the Son of God. We just read about this in Matthew, right? They asked them, "Are you the Son of God?" Well, Gabriel's telling Mary, you're going to have a child who is the Son of God. And then since he told her, you are going to give birth to God. Think about that for a second. Think about that. A young lady, most likely between, what, the ages of 16 to 20 years old, being told that she's going to give birth as a virgin to God. Everyone back then perfectly understood that if you're called the Son of God, that makes you equal to being God. Because a son takes on the nature of the Father. Therefore, if Jesus is the Son of God, then his nature is that of divinity. Now, to make it clear, he did not become God in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He's already God. From all eternity, he has been the Son of God, co-equal with the Father in his nature, glory, and power and honor. The Son of God has never been subordinate to the Father in his essence. They are co-equal in all things. There have been many theologians throughout the ages who have tripped themselves up, coming up with all sorts of weird explanations that lead to errors and heresies, which then lead them to a false god regarding Jesus Christ, his nature, and regarding the incarnation. Mankind, even very intelligent ones, get tripped up trying too hard to unravel that which is beyond the comprehension of finite man. For us, we need to be cautious in our study into the relationship between the Father and the Son, and always proceed with deep humility and reverence, and not think too highly of ourselves as we study this topic, because it is worthy of study. But let us not try to justify our intelligence or any degrees we may have and come up with neat ideas about Christ. Because usually those neat ideas are heretical and lead you to a different Jesus. Getting back to Mary. Although Mary did not ask, Gabriel proceeds to bolster her faith in this work of God that will transpire upon her. Look at verse 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. He speaks about Elizabeth, her cousin, who is now a child. Mary knew full well that Elizabeth was old in age and well past the age of childbearing. The angel told her she was 6 months into her pregnancy and reiterates she was barren. Now she has a child. Just like that, in essence, Mary, you're going to be with child. She who was barren has borne. You who are a virgin will conceive. Even though Mary didn't ask for a sign, in many ways, that was a sign for her that this was going to happen. For with God, nothing is impossible. As I explained earlier when we began this series, Elizabeth was a descendant of Aaron, Moses' brother, therefore the priestly line. Yet she is Mary's cousin, which means that at some point in Elizabeth's ancestry and Mary's ancestry, tribes from the person from the tribe of Levi and a person from the tribe of Judah married. So that with John the Baptist, he has a bloodline of both of Levi, or the priestly line, and of Judah, of the kingly line. So even John the Baptist descends from the house of David. And seeing the whole providence of God here. This is why we shouldn't read too fast through genealogies, because there's always these connections. Because these genealogical connections are usually fulfillments of prophecy. And there is no way mere man could have gathered together at some point in history and made this religion up to con people, as many atheists and God-haters say today. Again, the reliability of the scriptures is unquestionable in spite of constant attacks by various means. The foolishness of mankind always ends up thwarted when they attempt to undermine the word of God. Notice Mary's response in verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. That's the last time we hear from Gabriel, by the way. Here's a lonely woman, lady, girl, poor. She's poor. She's betrothed to be married to a carpenter. And she's being told that she will become pregnant while she's engaged to be married. Can you imagine what crossed her mind? Reflect back to Elizabeth. When she conceived in her old age, what did she do? She hid herself for 5 months to escape, possibly to escape the scrutiny of the people who certainly would have questioned how she became pregnant. And instead of rejoicing with her, probably spoken ill of her. Because man being man, women being women, were gossipers, were busybodies, were whisperers, and were backbiters. How'd she get pregnant? Could have been, you know, how'd she get pregnant? Perhaps part of her hiding had to do with her husband's status as a priest, and is suddenly going mute as well. Okay? The Lord must have judged them, because look at her husband, a priest. He's gone mute when he was in the temple. Now, a virgin is pregnant. How would a common people react to that? Imagine her trying to explain how she became pregnant. How would you buy this story? How do you become pregnant? Well, an angel came to me and told me I will give birth to the Son of God. If a woman, a young lady, a virgin, came up to you, or you saw her and she was pregnant, you're like, wait a minute, you're not married yet. How do you get pregnant? Well, an angel appeared to me, told me I was going to give birth to the Son of God. You're a woman. We've been smoking, right? You got too many mandrakes in you. This lowly young lady of no importance, of little education, from a backwood city of bad reputation, because Nazareth did not have a good reputation. They would have said to her, certainly you had relations either with Joseph before marriage, or worse, with another man. And you want to say that God got you pregnant? Her reputation and honor were certainly at stake here, and she risked to lose everything, including her fiancé, and to be relegated as an outcast and hurled into perpetual poverty. Yet notice her response, brothers and sisters. Notice her response. She said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Her faith that the Lord had chosen her, her faith in the words and explanation from Gabriel, threw all such worries about her societal status to the side. She completely submitted herself to the will of God. She did not question the word of God, nor added to it, nor took away from it. She did not twist it. She did not ask for an explanation as to how are you going to protect me from people when they question my pregnancy. She submitted to his will. This young lady demonstrated much more faith than most men ever will and did back in her day. Her faith was stronger than the learned and literate priest Zacharias. How would your faith compare to hers? You and I have the entire Word of God, the whole canon of Scripture. You and I are blessed to have the whole thing. We know the end of the story. Zacharias and Mary did not. We have more knowledge about God than Mary did in her day. Many of you read systematic theologians that the common Jewish person of that day would never have been able to. Because the Pharisees and the scribes, they wrote about theology in their day. But that was mainly kept among them. Yet for all of that, how is your faith in the Word of God today? When the Lord calls us to be salt and light of the world, are we? Do we trust the Lord to be so? Mary did. This young lady did. When the Lord teaches us to put our talents to use for His kingdom, because He will expect a return in His investment, have you trusted to do this in the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ with others? This young lady, you know, a female, responded to Gabriel and said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. I'm here to serve." And she was ready to invest all of her life in the Son of God. Are you? Men, are you so macho that you fail to see that a young lady from Nazareth demonstrated much more faith than you have in your walk with Christ? Search your hearts. Are you too full of pride to learn from the faith of the Virgin Mary? A young lady that risked everything to bear the Messiah. Are you too worried about how the world will perceive you? Talk about you. Look down on you because you're talking about Christ. Do you think you're too tough or too intelligent to place your faith in the Word of God as the young lady, the Virgin Mary, did in placing her faith in God's Word? Well, Pastor, you know, I'm going to lose a following on TikTok or something. Because I'm talking about Christ now. But people at work are going to think that, I can't live on my own without Jesus. Examine your hearts, congregation. Examine your hearts. Christ said, if you have too much care for the things of the world, He has no time for you. Measure it out today, right now in your hearts. Christ stated in this parable of the seed, He said this, He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The deceitfulness of being popular, of being liked, chokes out the word. Again, Jesus said, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Do you love yourself so much? Do you become narcissistic, centered upon yourself, instead of being centered on Christ? Mary had the mind of the Apostle Paul when Paul wrote in Philippians 3 verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Jesus Christ. Have you committed yourself to Christ in such a manner that you are more in love with Jesus Christ than you are for the things of this world and its perception of you? If not, pray to the Lord at this very moment to sanctify you by His Spirit, that He may increase your love and faith towards Him so that you count this world dung for the sake of Christ. And that you may echo as response to the Lord's calling upon your life, behold the handmaid or servant of God as you offer yourself up to your Lord. Commit your whole self wholeheartedly to His service in all things. In prayer, in Scripture, immersing yourself in it, not just reading it, but then also studying it. And not just studying it, but meditating on it. And not just meditating on it, memorizing it. In Sabbath keeping and avoiding buying and selling on the holy day. avoiding worldly entertainments on the Lord's day, and giving yourself to announce the good news of the gospel to your family, your friends, your neighbors, and strangers. All of this is your reasonable service to the Lord. All of us who are Christian have been called upon to perform these duties. Not just elders and deacons. Or are the pleasures of the world too much? The pleasures of the flesh too much that you cannot devote time to the Word of God each day? The Virgin Mary, a woman, a female, made no excuses to serve her Lord. So then, why, Christian, are you making excuses to serve your Lord? Be willing to do anything, go anywhere, and be anything that the Lord has called you to do in accordance to His will. To do in accordance to the duties that He has laid out in the Word of God. Many people say, well, I would like to know what the will of God is for my life. Yeah, you would? I don't know if you want the answer to that. The Ten Commandments. That's God's will for your life. Live by it. Prayer, scripture, fasting as necessary. Serving the Lord, sharing the good news of the gospel. That is God's will for your life. Start there. Seek first the kingdom of Christ, and then all things shall be added to you. And when you submit to the will of God, He's going to use you in such a way that you will lament that you did not submit to His will earlier in your life. Because it will be a blessed ride the Lord will put you on. Mary submitted. She said, the Lord's going to do it. Here I am. Do it. Our second point, briefly, verse 37, the works of God. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. The angel Gabriel reassured Mary that all that was going to happen was because nothing is impossible with God. Look at the instruction that Gabriel provided briefly to her. He teaches her right here in these couple of verses. Gave her a theological education, these two verses that spawned volumes of books. And these truths were given to her to reassure her. He reassured her that even Elizabeth was pregnant by the work of God to bolster her faith, as I said. And he says, when she asked, how would this happen? With God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen? Congregation, do you believe this? Do you believe this? And I do not mean just intellectually. Sure, you may say in your mind, I know He made everything by just speaking and everything was created. Sure, Mary was a virgin when Christ Jesus was conceived. Yet there are situations in my own life right now that I'm praying to the Lord to help me with. I am not sure if I will get my prayers answered. You struggle with this, that, or the other. And in your heart, you doubt whether God can or is there for you. Maybe your employer is threatening your job. telling you, unless you do what I tell you, even if in direct violation of the law of God, you will lose your job, you may waver on being faithful to his law. Mary did not waver, even though being pregnant out of wedlock would subject her to a third and seventh commandment violation. Or you see other situations in your life that are completely out of your hands, seemingly about to drown you. You question your hope in God. Verse 37, with God nothing shall be impossible. Now some of us will in fact have difficult situations and troubles in life because of sinful choices we have made. Let us not conflate the two circumstances. When we sin against the law of God, there will be consequences even after we confess our sins to the Lord. What I am speaking about is when you are pursuing obedience to the Word of God, and that in itself brings you into conflict with the world and with others. You are to remain faithful and steadfast in spite of what the world and people may say, because you are being faithful to the Lord, because you are adhering to the promises of God. And the Lord will see you through it. You see, in when we read the scriptures, many times certain things are developing here, and we don't take into account some time lapses. With Jacob, he served for 7 years. But, you know, I read it and it was, what, a few minutes. 7 years, he gets Leah instead of Rachel, so he has to serve another 7 years to get Rachel, 14 years. And we read this, we're like, wow, that trial went by quick. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. Your trials don't go by quick. In the performance of your reasonable service unto the Lord, you may question certain promises of the Lord. You read everywhere how the Lord will have his gospel spread over all the earth, that people from every tribe, tongue, and nation will praise the Lord. Yet you look at the world right now and think, how's this going to happen? And it's almost like believing in the virgin birth. Look at the world, awash in so much wickedness and a lack of the knowledge of Christ. Being born again is just that, a work of the Lord. And with the Lord, nothing is impossible. Daniel trusted in the words of Jeremiah's prophecy and knew the time of Israel's deliverance from captivity was at hand. The Lord has told us that the Jews will certainly be restored to Jesus Christ before he comes. It's a promise. Romans 11. Jesus says in Romans 11 that the fullness of the Gentiles will be gathered in before his second coming. These are promises that are sure and true. Yet, how many of us look and say, how is this going to happen? With God, nothing is impossible. No matter how twisted the world seems to you and I today, the gospel will cover the ends of the earth from sea to shining sea, as it says in Psalm 72. The knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ will be found where peoples everywhere worship and praise him with their own lips in their own language. Christian, as certain as you believe in the virgin birth, can you not then believe in the worldwide coming to Christ? Do not allow yourself to look at his promises with the eyes of the flesh. Look with the eyes of the Spirit. You and I have been called to participate in this grand work of God, to have the good news of His Son, born of a virgin, to be shared near and far. The Virgin Mary had much faith. In any age where women are usually despised or looked down upon, can you even measure up to her faith if you are such a man that tends to look down upon women? The Lord has done all these things and will do even greater. Do you believe that? Pray to the Lord to strengthen your faith and to pardon you for your unbelief. Christ said that we today, us, are more blessed having believed and not seen all that His own disciples saw. Look upon your duties in Christ Jesus with the eyes of faith, of the Holy Spirit, instead of with eyes of sinful man and of worldly logic and reason. How's it going to happen? Lord, there's two ways to ask that question. One is, Lord, okay, the Jews and the Gentiles are going to come to the faith in the Lord. The gospel will be found in all nations. So the question can be asked in two ways. Lord, yeah, how's that going to happen? With doubt and credulity. Or Lord, how's that going to happen? Because I'm going to be part of that. Mary was the second. I'm here, Lord. Use me. Zacharias was like, she's old. How is she going to have a baby? Give me a sign. You and I have the testimony of the entire Word of God to bolster our faith. May your faith in the Word of God at the very least match that of an economically poor, poorly educated young lady. And check yourself the next time you seek to disparage a woman of faith, because it may just be that her faith is much stronger than yours. And the Lord will humble you by bypassing you and using her to advance His will on the earth. Not that she can become a woman pastor or elder, because they're not allowed to. But the Lord uses women in many different ways. And some men who have walked with the Lord for a long time and not used because of their pride. Congregation, trust in Christ. Perform your basic duties at the very least every day. And as you are given opportunity, share the gospel with others. You and I have been raised up in or called to this city here in Las Vegas to be a light to it, to be salt to it. May we not squander the talents that the Lord, your Lord, has given to you. Perform your duties to Christ, lest when He comes, He finds you as one of those foolish virgins who did not have the oil ready. Don't be found as one who buries their talent because you know the Lord does not, he reaps what He doesn't sow. Be found doing your duty, watching for Him. Pray to the Lord that you may be like the wise virgins that waited for the bride, for the husband, the bridegroom, watching and performing their duty. And be like the Virgin Mary. Commit your life to the Lord, to His service, to His duties. Amen. Let us stand and pray.